All right, we're back for our second section on Isaac and the wells. There's lessons here. There's several principles that I'd like to share. And you ask God to help you to grab what you need. This is a session of just going through some scriptures that I trust that most of you are familiar with. A man of the wells, Isaac, a man of the wells, will be the title for this. And the first well represents the authority of God's presence. The authority of God's presence. When we live in God's presence, we have real power. And we're back in Genesis still. And by the way, you ever wonder where the apostles got all of the stuff, the Apostle Paul and all the stuff he got? He got it out of the Old Testament. He wasn't pulling it out of the air. He's getting these lessons that he has. You know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood and these things. He's pulling these things out. They're great. We could go through Nehemiah and Ezra. David is a great one to go through and see these principles. They're all there. These things are written for our examples and for our encouragement and for our learning. And so I'm going to go to Genesis 24. I may be bouncing around a little bit in his life, but this is the authority of his presence. Matter of fact, I think I'll go back to Exodus 16 and verse 14, where this well, this first well is mentioned, and it has to do with Hagar. She didn't do anything wrong. She just came from Egypt. And envy was there with Sarah when Sarah came up with this wild idea to have a child through her. Because she what? Dropped her shield of faith. We always get into trouble. Always she dropped her shield of faith. She just couldn't wait one more day. And no doubt she's what, 90 years old or something up there? And so comes up with this, and this is what we do. If we won't live by God's principles, we'll come up with our own ideas. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so the envy is there, and she's going to have a baby, and so she goes out there in verse 13 of Genesis 16, and she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou God seest me, for she said, Have I also here looked after him that seeth me? Wherefore the well was called Beer Lahai. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Beered. And that's the first well. And that's an important well. And now if we go back over to Genesis 24, you remember when Abraham's servant went off to get a wife for Isaac? And then he comes back with the wife. And she's on the camel, and she says, Who's this walking this way? And he says, My master. And so she covers herself up and goes to meet him. What had Isaac been doing before he met his bride? Genesis 24, in verse 62. By the way, servant had met Rebekah at the well, not this well, because that was a different place. But in 62, and Isaac came from the way of the well Lahai, for he dwelt in the south country. It was the well of the living one. It was the well of the presence of God. Now this principle, the spiritual principle of living in the presence of God, gets over into the presence of the Holy Spirit being with us. The Holy Spirit is in the believer's life. And he's always talking to us. He's sealed us until the day of redemption. And he's trying to get us to obey him. And if you think of the fact that Jesus said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He said, I'm with you always. Lo, I'm with you always. God has given us promises. He's given us promises. And so we're to stand on the promises. And here's the first principle out of this lesson. Living under the authority of God's presence brings blessing. And remember, our enemies always wanting to knock us out of getting God's blessing. Over in chapter 25, in verse 11. And it came to pass after the death of Abraham that God blessed his son Isaac, and Isaac dwelt by the well, Lahairi. He was going to stay under the blessing of God. His brother is not, Isaac's, Ishmael's not so inclined to that. Represents the unsaved or the carnal at the best. But Isaac was a spiritual man. And so he's going to live under the authority of God and God's presence. That's why he had a little bit smoother life than Abraham, and definitely a lot smoother life than Jacob. Jacob represents us. We like to do things the hard way, or some of us do. Maybe you don't. Well, these wells represent water. And water, in the teaching of the Scripture, and I might take you there, if we go to John chapter 7, represents the Holy Spirit. John 7, in that last day in 37, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." And if you think about this, a special day, they would go over to the special well and they would draw this water, and then they would come and they'd pour it out. Just as they poured it out, Jesus hollers out at the top of his voice and he says this, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." Actually, going back from the Old Testament, he is saying, "I'm the Messiah. I am here to satisfy your thirst." And of course, you go back into the fact that when Israel was brought out of Egypt, where we go back and get a lot more lessons there, when they were brought out of Egypt, out of bondage, and they get out there and they didn't have any water, right? And they found water and it was bitter. They threw a tree in, representing some type of Christ and the crucifixion of Christ, and they bring in the Spirit of God, and they were satisfied. And then, of course, they were hungry, and so the enemy is always there to get them dissatisfied with the apparent slow-moving provision of God. And so he moves in and tries to get you to doubt and complain, and they murmured, and all this stuff happens. And so Jesus is saying, "I will satisfy. Come unto me and drink." Are you drinking living water? The woman at the well, and he told her that he had the living water. In John 4, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into life." Wonderful blessing of God to give us the Holy Spirit. And so the wells represent water. The wells represent the Spirit of God. Moses sat down by a well. Did you know that? And Exodus 2:15, and it was called Beer, the well of life. The well of life. So one of the things that has been negated, rejected, ignored, or whatever, is the teaching of the Holy Spirit in the church. Satan is a wonderful imitator. He likes to be an imitator of the Holy Spirit. First of all, he doesn't know how to help us. He doesn't know how to guide us. All he knows is how to destroy us. But he wants to imitate, and so we've got all the substitutes around for the Holy Spirit. But he is a person, and he's come to indwell us, and he's come to give us strength. And I have a little saying that I picked up along somewhere. The Lord Jesus received his holiness begun. The Lord Jesus cherished his holiness advancing. But the Lord Jesus counted upon as never absent is holiness complete, which I'd like to have. But I have a lot of failure in that area. But the Holy Spirit is one. He's the holy part that brings that satisfaction and the guidance that we need. And it's like he's very gentle. Okay, you won't listen, he'll just move off. Okay, you're going to learn the hard way. You know, he's very gentle. He's a still voice. He's a still voice. We'd like Him to write it out and send us a text message. You know? I haven't got one yet. But if we will be still and know He's God and listen to Him speak in His Spirit. My father-in-law said many years ago that God is always speaking to us. But we're not always listening. And so if we learn to go to the well and drink and listen from the Lord. And in Numbers 21, back there in the time of Moses, 21:16, there is the well of life again, the beer. And Numbers 21:17, they sang this song, "Spring up, O well, sing ye unto it," it said. Interesting things. There's a verse in Psalms 84:6, "Who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools." If you can imagine, when Jesus Christ walked down the dusty streets of Nazareth, or come into Samaria, whatever, He was a well of life. The Spirit of God just flowed out of Him. The joy of God was there in His life. And this is why if we would have the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and goodness and kindness and gentleness and all these things. And so what man wants to come up to is substitute Holy Spirit. But you can't substitute real joy and peace in love. He is the one that produces that. And so we, you know, "Oh, I love you, brother," whatever. And he goes around the corner. "Oh, so-and-so, I sure like to get him out of here." You know, that's not from the Holy Spirit. And so out of the mouth of the righteous is a well of life, Proverbs 10:11. And so we have these lessons from the wells. And when God took them into the desert, here's the grace of God for them, giving them the types. If we go into the types, all the types that speak of Christ, but they ask in discontent for water, but God gave in love, and they received with joy, and then they sang with praise. It's Numbers 21. And so Isaiah said, "Therefore with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation, the spring of the fountain." So these wells represent water, and this first one represents the presence of God. Now in Genesis, meanwhile back at the ranch, in 26, let's look into Isaac's life and see what he's doing. In 26:1-6, "And there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Amalek, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, 'Go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of.'" Now he moved from the north down to the south, and I feel like it's almost like God saying, "Don't go any farther south. Stop here." It was enough trouble he got into right there because he tried to pass off Rebekah as his wife. But God spoke to him in verse 3, "Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee." You know, we can go dwell on the border. We can go dwell on the border of the world and just try to not get in it, but just get as close as we can. Dangerous place to live, isn't it? You know? If you're going up into the mountains and there's steep roads, we were up in, when we lived out in Colorado, went up, I think it was Long's Peak. It's a one-way trip. I mean, you look down, it's a couple thousand feet down. My wife doesn't like heights. And you look down, you want to drive as far away from the edge as you want to. The Holy Spirit's going to always draw you away from that which is dangerous and always bring you to Christ who satisfies and feeds you. The enemy is always tempting us to go get our water in the world, get our nourishment in the world. And so here he is in verse 4. And God says, "I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven." He's reiterating the promises to Abraham. "And will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and Isaac dwelt in Gerar." Someone said that Gerar meant, it was a name meaning to drag off. I don't know if that's true. I read another, it's rolling hills is around there. But if we use that term to drag off, it's like you went south, you've been drug off to Gerar. Don't go any farther south. God stopped him. You're still within the border of blessing. And here's a second principle that I'd drawn out of this first well. The first principle I had said was living under the authority of God's presence brings blessing. Second principle, His presence represents His care. And so when you go to the wells, when the woman at the well from Samaria went there, they met the care of God for her. She's not living a good life. You know, she had all these husbands, and then Jesus tells her, the one you got's not your husband. You know, He just opened up her heart, but He cared for her. Jesus cares for people. And when the Spirit of God works in our hearts, we are going to care too. We have to die to ourselves, die to our shyness, die to our inability and whatever, and just let God produce life through us. Where we live, where we have church, there's a lot of motels around us. There's probably close to 20, and there's the high end, the highest end you can get, the DoubleTree with Hilton, and then we got the cheapos around. And one of them down there, people get murdered in it, and so these people are always coming in. Well, we rent this church from a Church of God. They meet on Saturdays, and so they put up a little sign that sort of slowed the traffic down for them to come a certain day. But when they come in, they're not looking for God. They may try to pass off that they are, whatever, sometimes we get to talk, but they really want a handout, they want some gas, they want money most of the time, they want a place to stay, and whatever. And it's really, we really get stretched, because 95% of the time they're lying to us. And we're getting pretty good at trying to weed them out, especially if there's two. We can separate them. My favorite one. Separate them is this man and wife. They come in saying they're man and wife, so we separate them, and so we ask them questions. This is interesting. They were not married in the same state. They were not married in the same town. They were not married in the same month. They were not married on the same day. They were not. And then he got mad at her. What are you doing? You know. But we try to present Christ to them. We try to do as much as, and we get stretched. I mean, we get stretched. I mean, there's been times I would not take any money with me or nothing to church. And the Lord said, yeah, you're really great. Any cheapo. Okay, Lord, okay, I'll take $5. He said, no, take your credit card. Oh, okay, Lord. You know, but we have to die to self. And the enemy, you know, he's always working to keep us focused on ourselves. So this principle, his presence represents his care. Isaac dwelling there by the well, Lahori, he's nourishing on God. The enemy's going to try to draw us away from our source of satisfaction and our strength and get us to look to ourselves. You know, the homeless people come, the devil's going to say, here they come again. You know, they just, what are you going to do? And so I have to listen to God and die to self. One of my men in the church where he works, he got hit with this guy needing some money for his transmission, having trouble. And a few weeks later, the guy hits him up again for the same story. And he recognized him. And he'd helped him out the first time. All right, 1 Peter 5, I want to read this to you because I think it's important. We know this. 1 Peter 5, the only way we're going to be kept from drawn off to the enemy's territory in this battle for our spiritual walk is to humble ourselves continually. Verse 6, humble yourself therefore under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you in due time. To stay at the well and to dwell there is a humbling thing. But then he says, Peter said, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. So at the well, you can pour out your heart to God. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of grace had called us into His eternal glory and all these things. So His presence represents His care. Isaac's dwelling there under the blessing and the care of God. Now, if we go back to Genesis again, 26, and verse 6, he's there at Gerar, and he's halfway between Canaan and Egypt. And he stopped there. God told him to dwell in the land. And in 26:7, there's consequences if we get too far away from the well of our source of Christ. And here's what happened. In verse 6, and Isaac dwelt in Gerar, and the men of the place asked him of his wife, and he said, she is my sister, for he feared to say, is my wife, she is my wife, and said he, the men of the place should kill me for Rebekah. He is off programmed onto self. He's not drawing from the source of life and strength. He's looking, oh me. She must have been a good looking wife. Abraham's wife was good looking, and these thoughts come in. And so he's moved over into this area, and we know how that goes. He gets into trouble there, and he gets reproved. Here's the principle I drew out of this verse 7. There's consequences of living out of communion with God or living too far from the well. Compromise is what the enemy wants to do. He wants to talk us into surrender. He wants to, let's sit down and talk things over. No, God said, don't sit down and talk things over. Just resist him. That's our weapon. Resist is our charging. And he will move. And so, you know, you don't want to be like the story. You probably heard this story of the bear and the hunter. The hunter was hungry, and the bear was hungry, and the hunter was cold, wanted a coat. And so the bear's, hey, don't shoot, don't shoot. Let's talk this over. We can come up with a deal. And, you know, I'm making this up. I heard this story anyway. Not making it up, but really. You know, they sit down. The hunter talks to the bear, and they have a little conference. And then the bear goes off. He's had his meal, and the hunter's got his fur coat. This is how it works with the devil. If we sit down, you know, he's going to eat us up. All right, so his presence represents his care, and the enemy just seems to be always there to draw us up. And he's departed down now to Gerar, and failure comes with a compromise, with the fears that are there in his life, and so here he is. He's got this compromise. Compromise, I'm going to say these things about it. Is to lose the authority of the Holy Spirit. Compromise is to lose the authority of the Holy Spirit. He's supposed to be in charge, right? You've been bought with a price, therefore glorify you. And we filled, he said, be filled with the Holy Spirit. That was a command, to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. So if we're not filled with the Holy Spirit, we're filled with who? And who gets us in trouble? We're filled with self. And also Satan can, oh, I see. I remember a story of a man that was a counselor one time for people that had deep problems, spiritual problems, warfare type areas or whatever. And he went into a place one time, and there was a witch there. And she looked at him and she said, how dare you come in here without your armor on? She nailed him. He didn't put on his armor. He didn't put on the breastplate of righteousness. The belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness. He didn't have his feet shod with the preparation of gospel peace. He didn't have the shield of faith and helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. And demons recognize our weakness, and when we're not in authority, scared him. He recognized that. Whoa. And so it's to lose the authority of the Holy Spirit, to lose the Holy authority of the Holy Spirit, to lose the power. You shall receive what? Power when you're filled with the Holy Spirit. We're commanded to continually be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's because we continually leak. You know, we just continually, we have to pray without ceasing. And it's hard. If you got it all done, that's great. But I'm weak. And so we lose the authority of the Holy Spirit. We lose the power of the Holy Spirit. Then we lose the influence of the Holy Spirit in our life, which brings out the fragrance of Christ. You know, even when Stephen was being stoned, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Looks up to heaven, he sees Jesus right here in the Father, and they gnashed on him. He was to the death filled with the Holy Spirit. He said, you always risk this, the Holy Spirit. This is what happens in the Word of God in the life. If we resist the Holy Spirit, we're resisting the wrong one. Is there something God is trying to get done in your life? And you're resisting God. You're resisting the wrong one, because if you resist God, it's like an invitation for Satan. He'd come along. Hey, let me help you resist. You don't really want God to have His way in this test in your life. And so, here we got this losing our authority, losing power, losing the influence, and just doing the same thing Abraham did. In verse 6, and Isaac dwelt in Gerar. I got a principle here. It gets easier for each generation to follow a generational sin. Abraham did it. He did it. He lied. He just put forth a lie. So he sinned there. He feared there. And he was rebuked there by Abimelech for doing that. And think, once would be enough. You know, years ago I determined, you know, and in Bible college, I told you about that. I met my wife there. And God began to speak to me about ministry. And we talk, you know, He didn't talk out loud. But He talked in my spirit. And He said, I want you to minister the word. I want you to preach. Oh, no, God, you got the wrong guy. It's not me. And so I come up with all these reasons why God, you know, I can't speak. And I can't speak before people. Scares me to death. You know, the dean of men at that college, his daughter told me years ago that her dad said I was the shyest person he'd ever seen in his life. I was messed up. You know, we got married. My wife didn't know how messed up I was. But also, Lord, I'm dumb. You know, I can't remember. I can't study good. I just went down all these things. And they said, you know, I'm weak, can't speak. And I mean, everything I could think of. And God said, that's all the qualifications I need. I need you to be weak. I will be your strength. Oh, I don't think I'm going to win this. And so, okay. You know, when I graduated, I went back home. Go back, and I went through different things there, and God, I had to burn some bridges down there and stuff, and finally say, okay, God, whatever you want. And then He led me into pastoring. It wasn't my idea, it's God's. It's still His. Okay, so it gets easier, we lie, and here's a principle, an important one, about Isaac, and we're going to get to the wells here, hopefully in a minute. But it's in the famines, he went down there because of the famine, the devil will try to draw us away from the authority of the presence and the power of God. He tries to draw us away from the wells. And now we're going to go into these wells. Here's another principle, just throw it out for you. The blessing is on the basis of promise, not always on the basis of performance. Isaac failed there, but God continued to work in his life and encourage him along. You know, I appreciate that about God. If we fail, He gently comes and picks us up, dusts us off. Okay, now go ahead. Try to be more careful. You know, He's faithful. Hebrews 10:23, He's faithful. If we believe not yet, He abideth faithful. Now we go down through 13 through 18. We're going to move towards the wells a little bit here. 13, and the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. This is Isaac. And he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. That's one thing. If you get into warfare, if you get into the presence of somebody that has envy against you, who can stand before envy? You could go through some very deep things to get into warfare where somebody has envy, that you have got something that they don't. Well, he's got wells. He's successful. The Philistines envied him. 15, for all the wells which his father's servants had digged, all Isaac's father's servants had digged, in the days of Abraham, his father, the Philistines had stopped them up and filled them with earth. Some people, all they have is the power to criticize and put down and condemn and see all the mistakes in others. The Spirit of God working in you, you're going to have the power and the ability and the discernment to pick up and encourage in whatever. Because you're drawing from the wells. Those that are not drawing from the authority of the wells of God and the Holy Spirit, they're going to have just the authority of the flesh and Satan to work. And the envy will be there and all this stuff. And 16, Abimelech said unto Isaac, Go from us, for thou art much greater than we. 17, and Isaac departed thence, pitched his tent in the valley of Gerah, and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water, which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. Abraham named these wells. These wells had names. Isn't that interesting? You know, like children. And so, in these verses here, 13 through 18, see where I'm at here. Okay, I had couple more principles in 18. God's presence in your problems brings wells of blessing. Another statement I have, some people only stop wells, no life. Some people only dig wells, full of life. But let's go on to the second well. And I call this well the authority of gentleness. Here's Isaac. He's a great man. He's wealthy. He's powerful. And so we slip on down in 17. And Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerah and dwelt there and digged again the wells of water that they had digged. In 19, and Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. The second well I call the authority of gentleness, because he didn't strive and fight with them. He just moved on. Some men only have the power to try to take over, like liberals. They can't create and bring, they can just take over, and whatever they take over eventually dies and is destroyed. But if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, the servant of the Lord is in the strive. We're to be gentle and instructing. So this is what I call the authority of gentleness. He just moves on. 2 Timothy 2:24, servant of the Lord must not strive but be gentle and all this. And so he separated at this point from Abimelech. He separated from strife, trying to get away from it. He separated from hatred, which these wells have these different naming means. Verse 19, Isaac digged a well in the valley and found there a well of springing water. This is a well of life. In verse 21, this well here, let's see, they digged another well and strove. This well is named Stitna, or hatred. Opposition to the Holy Spirit's authority. They hated me without a cause, Jesus said. And so a principle here, going down in 22, he removed from thence and digged another well. And I'm sort of moving fast through these. But the third well was hatred. Second well was gentleness. Let me say some principles about hatred. Separate yourself from strife and those who hate you, if you can. God uses uses these to bring him closer to himself and back to himself more. But he didn't resist. He just removed himself from that area, from those wells. He'd dig them. They would come take over. They'd go dig another well. And the fourth well then, third one being hatred, the third one is verse 22, and he removed thence and digged another well, for that they strove not, and he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, For now the Lord had made room for us, we shall be fruitful in the land. And this one, this well was called Room, hath made room. And here's a principle that I've written out on this one. When we live under the authority of God, under the authority of the Holy Spirit, God will make room for us to be fruitful. And again, the Holy Spirit is the one that produces the fruit. Only thing we do is fruit, the fruits of the flesh. All those things there. Psalms 18, 17 through 19. You can write that down. Isaiah 54:2, enlarge the place of thy tent. There's a good verse to meditate upon. Sometimes God we're in a situation, there's strife and stuff, and God's using that to just say, okay, just move on. Move on in there. All right, the fifth well. The well in verse 23. See all these wells, 23. And he went up from thence to Beersheba, and the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee, and will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. And he built an altar there and called the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants digged a well. In verse 23, that well is the well of blessing, the blessing of the Holy Spirit. So he's moved to Beersheba, back to the well of an oath. In verse 23, and they planted a grove there and saw a well of water, the oath. All right, the fifth well, the well of blessing. This is the oath. This is the oath of God, the repetition at this well. He's there communing with God. And back to Beersheba, the well of an oath. And probably might have missed that one back there in the past, too. All right, the principle under this one is when things are tough, go back to the presence of God. This is what he did. He went back to this well, represented the presence of God. He built an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants digged. There's more on... Then Abimelech came to him there. But God appeared to him there in that passage. Now, 25, when he built an altar there, that represents sacrifice. I might say just a few things about this. Not any really deep things, but Noah built an altar when he got off the ark. 12:7, Abraham built an altar there at Shechem. And verse 8, he built another altar in 13:4. He built another altar in 18 in Hebron. And 22:9, he built 26:25. We have all these altars in their life, meaning that they had learned to draw from the wells, but also these altars represented worship. And worship, if we go into that area, if we get into that, worship and praise is one of the most powerful weapons that you have to repel the enemy. You know why? I'll give you a little story. There's a Welsh miner, and trying to remember his name. I just forgot it. But he got saved. Maybe somebody will remember it from him. But everywhere he went, if one foot hit the ground, he said, praise the Lord. The next foot hit the ground, he said, glory to God. Praise the Lord, glory to God. Everywhere he went, he got saved. And, see, was his name Billy? Is that it? It's coming. Anyway, somebody come up to him one day. And he said, Billy, suppose... you know, you die and you go to hell and you find out that all this stuff about Jesus and all this religious stuff and everything is just a bunch of bunk. What are you going to do? You're down in hell. He said, well, I'm just going to keep on praising the Lord and giving Him glory till the devil comes over and says, Billy, you can't stay. You can't do that down here. You got to leave. The enemy cannot stand praise. He cannot stand in the presence of praise to God. You know, there's a story in the Old Testament about that, when they began to praise. And so when you draw from these wells the strength and you build your altars and you worship God, you have a testimony of praise to God. Beersheba, that well in verse 33. Let's see, and he called it Sheba. Okay, let's go... if I missed a well here. In 32, it came to pass the same day that Isaac's, okay, he had some strife. Abimelech came there. In 28, they said, we saw certainly that the Lord is with thee. We said to thee, let there be now an oath between us. This is where we get the well of the oath. Between us, let's make a covenant. Thou will do us no hurt. We won't hurt you. And at 30, they made a feast. In 31, they rose up quickly in the morning, and swear one to another, and Isaac, okay, I'm not going to hurt you, you don't bother me. And he hadn't been bothering anybody anyway. And they sent them away and they departed from peace. And it came to pass the same day that Isaac's servants came and told him concerning the well which they had digged, and said unto him, "We have found water." And he called it Sheba. Therefore the name of the city is Beersheba unto this day. And that one they call the well of the oath. There's another well, though. There's a sixth well. And that one is, let's see if I found it. Okay. This one is back over in verse 19 of 26. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. I passed this one up. In 18 we had that well. But this one is interesting. It's a well of springing water. We lived in a house once years ago that had a well that if the casing had been smaller, it would have been flowing water. But they forget the name that you call that. But it says, well of springing water. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly, Jesus said in John 10:10. And this is what we want, the springing water, the Holy Spirit continually flowing through our life. And so these are the lessons that we have. The first well as a represents the Father's presence, His authority as your protection. Departure from His presence in the time of famine, we can be heading for failure and things like that. We had the covenants. Had a couple more principles, and I'm going to probably need to shut down here. I said as Isaac was meditating alone, he's back there at the well, God brought his Rebekah. And it could be that as you meditate upon the Lord, at the well, drawn from the presence of God, He will bring your answer. Answers come more clear when alone with God, when we draw from the well. So the well of contention and strife, I had a principle written down for that one. As you live under the protection and authority of the Holy Spirit, you will meet with resistance from those who are not under authority. It's just Isaac and Esau. It's just a natural thing. The spirit and the flesh. We got that in us, but also people that are in the flesh, that operate under the flesh and not under the operation of the Holy Spirit, well, there'll be conflict. There'll be friction. There'll be friction. But if both are filled with the Spirit, it's going to be smooth. And things are going to work. When I work with my men, we make decisions on things. I'm always sensitive and try to be sensitive. If somebody's got a check on something, okay, let's just wait on it a little bit. But if we all seem to be agreed and we work together, we just flow along. We had a new man in our fellowship, and we let him sit in. I let him sit in with the leadership, which usually I'm bringing the men in, keeping them on what's going on all the time, whatever. And he watched us go through. We had some money left over in our budget and whatever. And we're going into the new year. Let's don't carry all this money. And so we just sort of worked through. We listened to God and we worked through and we gave away hundreds of dollars. Even gave him several hundreds of dollars because he's out of work. And what he just watched us work through that. And he went away amazed how the Spirit of God just flowed through there. And so that should be the way in our life. All right. Conclusion. How about that? It says lunch. That's how you interpret conclusion. All right. Draw water out of the wells of salvation. Jesus said in 7:38, drink. And they're singing in Numbers 21. And I will open rivers in high places. Isaiah 41. You can go look up all kinds of things. Here's a good one. Psalms 87:7. All my springs are in thee. All my sources of joy and all my strength are in thee. Jacob, how about that? Okay, let's stand and close in prayer. Now, Father, thank you. I just pray that you would use this somehow in our lives. Lord, we don't want to focus on the enemy. He's always there. He's always there. But you're always there. And so I think you're saying, if we get a hit, or we got a problem, we got a circumstance, we got a challenge, and some of these things are almost like we're going to die in it, help us to continually just come back and keep our gaze on Thee. And make that glance quick. Father, you know the weakness of our flesh. Sometimes we just like to stare at it too long. But you say in everything by prayer, so help us to come back to the wells, your well of abundant life. I've come that you might have life and that you might have it abundantly. Holy Spirit, we're sorry how we resist you sometimes. We quench you. We grieve you. We don't listen to you. And we get into some trouble. But help us through this. Use us to make us stronger in the battle of life. Thank you for the victory that you've given us. Thank you for your presence and all of the good things that you give to us. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.